part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's...
This is Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Waid, writer of Superman Birdland.
You're listening to The Krypton Report.
Welcome to the Krypton Report podcast. I am your host, Tyler, the Superman of Blue, the Man of Tomorrow, and with me, as always, my co-host in red, the Crimson Avenger, if that was his name, but Mr. James Cole, the Man of Steel, the Superman of Red. What's up, man?
The Crimson Chin. Isn't that what that is?
His name is...
How's it going?
His name is Red Crimson.
Not too bad. Yeah. Staving off a headache.
I feel like that's just this life.
Sick, man. Kids. Sick, you kids. Know? Yeah, sick kids made for a very long day. I took the day off just to take the day off because a couple of kids were supposed to just go to a regular doctor's appointment. And it was just going to be a day off. But then, no. Kids are sick, so they all had to go to the kids' urgent care and get prescriptions, and it ended up being a very, very long day.
Well, speaking of long, Titans is back, but it hasn't been as long as it was between season 2 and 3. I just laughed at myself. It's cool.
Oh no, I got you earlier.
But anyways, we have a little bit of news and we'll get into things, but our news is not nothing as of this recording, because we weren't recording as quickly as we had originally wanted to. We have a new poster for Shazam Fury of the Gods, only in theaters March 17th. What do you think about this poster, James?
I mean, I like it. I like the suit. It's got a playful nature, kind of like the first one does. And then, you know, I mean, it's like a sky background, so it's just bright.
Yeah, I like and don't like this poster. Okay. Here's why. I feel like it's cool, but the way that it's cropped and the way, like, it looks like he's riding a scooter, which he is riding a scooter.
Yeah.
Off the side. But the problem is the scooter is so much at the bottom that you almost don't see it. And so much of him is off. Why not just zoom out, like shrink him down so that you can see the actual scooter and you can see him riding it instead of having like half of him off out of the frame of the poster?
Yeah, I don't think, like, the whole half of him needed to be out.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, if he just started to ride out, like, you got to see 3/4 of him.
And like, you could actually see the scooter on the ground.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's my issue with this poster. And it's nice to see the suit. Like, I am digging the suit. I just actually restarted rewatching Shazam today with the kids. It's part of our rewatch of everything. And once we see Shazam Fury of the Gods, then we'll have a talk about which suit's better. Because I like the leanness of the new suit, but I felt the old suit's brighter red. And this little thing is, I'm kind of like, I'm not sure which wrist cuffs I like more. So I like the hood on the cape, though. I missed the hood on the cape. I just thought that was so that's just something. But we also,
yeah, we've gotten some pretty awesome artwork with the hood on the cape as well.
It just made it something different to set him apart, you know?
Right.
I like the hood on Black Adam. And then we also got the tease of the DC Universe Multiverse McFarlane Shazam movie figure the same day. It looks cool. I can't wait to pre-order it. And I hope they do the whole Shazam family.
Yeah, it looks a lot like Zachary Levi. I remember when I came across it and I took a second look at it, a second glance, and I was like, oh, wow, that's a figure. I scrolling through and I'm like, that look, wait. And then I went back and I was like, yeah, that's a figure.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good likeness for a 7-inch figure, you know?
Yeah, it is. And I can't wait to, it'll be the next figure on my shelf of McFarlane movie figures. Right now I have.
Well, if you're able to get the whole Shazam family in there and.
They get moved. I do one figure per movie on the shelf that I need to retool because it's going to. I was thinking about like it when I started, I was like, sweet. It was just the Batman. Then I put my blue and red Superman Cavill on there. I was like, all right. And then I got my Black Adam on here. And then I was like, wait, I don't have enough room for like one, maybe two more figures. So I'll put Shazam on here and then I'll have to figure something else. I'll have to retool my shelves. Oh, joy. But, and then, so that's all kind of real nude. And then we're just going to get into kind of some Titans talk because, yeah, we'll save it because we're going to talk Titans. The new season just dropped, the first two episodes on HBO Max. So what we're going to do is we're going to do something we haven't done in a little while. And that's jump back into reviewing Superman Son of Kal-El number 16. This one's been out for a little bit. We haven't got to just because of, you know, specials and life and.
Well, with the things they've got going on, we also don't have like a bunch of extra books, a couple of books a month, really.
Yeah. And so one announcement we do want to bring up is James and I were talking about it with the introduction of Ultra. We're going to continue to review the books that are coming out, but we're just going to kind of be probably about a month behind the current book because neither of us.
Well, considering recording today, honestly, we are a month behind.
Exactly. Just with the way life flows and the way some of the stories are, we probably will be up on our stories. But I mean, come on. Books hitting 1 month after they hit physical is not that bad. And just the cost saving of trying to keep up with all the stories, like, you know, The World's Finest and some of these other titles and things. We're just going to shift more to Ultra and we'll just be reviewing from the app as more so than reviewing the newest books. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Catching up. And it also will give us a chance to, I think, pick other books, other storylines to look at down the line, you know, to talk about something that we haven't before.
Yeah, like I'm kind of interested honestly in this. I want to start reading the Batman versus or the Robin versus Batman, whatever it is. And the Black Adam one, that new Black Adam book. I would like to read that too. So
yeah, I actually read 4 issues of that Black Adam on here, and that Batman versus Robin I haven't started yet, but I have it on my, I have it in my list, one of my few lists going on. But they just dropped a second issue of Batman versus Robin today, so on the Ultra.
Sweet. I saw that. Isn't that, they do send out like a newsletter flyer that says new on Ultra, and it'll tell you. So now let's jump into Superman, Son of Kal-El, Part 2. Or Son of Kal-El, number 16, Kal-El Returns, Part 2. Yep, titled Reunion. James, you want to take us there?
Yeah, so we get... we open up on John out in the field where he's gotten some of his super hearing, and you get Clark, which is, you get the Lois and Clark black suit, from that, Road to Rebirth run. That was really good.
And Dan Jurgens. Amazing.
Yes. 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 By Dan Jurgens. Yeah. And this honestly is one of the best black suits and one of the most awesome figures from McFarlane I've seen. Just throwing that out there.
He's right. They're both right.
They're both right. So Clark is comforting John, and he says, focus on something small, something close. And then you get John's narration saying that he focused on his father's heartbeat, steady and strong, and it stopped his from beating so fast. And then he wakes up, and it's been months since he heard his father's heartbeat. He gets up, he gets dressed. Love that when he gets dressed, he just puts on his Superman costume.
I mean,
it's what he wears every day on the job. Lois is working on a story. Lex Luthor Tech has been has gone missing from a prison lockup. There's a nice moment here where he talks about her coffee being cold and that Clark used to reheat it for her every day. John does that for her. She's my hero. John, he says he starts his every day the same way. I start by choosing a direction and flying fast and far. And then I look farther, searching for any sign of my dad. And then I continue his work and my own. And he starts his patrol. He goes to a child's hospital, wearing a mask for everybody, which is a really nice, just really nice community, you know, bringing the real world community into this book, you know, those who so choose, and especially in a children's hospital where children are having medical problems. Talks about reforestation plans in the Amazon,
which is awesome.
Yep, I love that. He is having lunch with Jay, and they're discussing some thing. He's discussing some Bendix issues, trying to get the country and families back on track and together. And he does a little crime fighting with Robin. It's always good to see John and Damian together.
Yes, it is.
And John's just saving the day everywhere. Sinkholes, storms, volcanoes, fires. He's saving the day everywhere. This is a really nice moment because he shows up to a person's house. Somebody who, when he was overcharged, he saved them and broke their arm. And here he is actually here to apologize. They have a really nice exchange. The person's like, "You saved my life." He doesn't think anything of it. You know, I'm sure he's just overwhelmed that Superman is there. He's apologizing. He's actually having a conversation, not, you know, in and out because his life has been saved. I think it was a really awesome moment. But he does say, "But I guess there is one thing," and Superman draws and signs on his cast.
Yeah. I like what he says when he says, "They'd still be pulling parts of me out of a truck if it wasn't for you."
John stops at home, plays fetch with Crypto, reheats his mother's coffee again. And then he shows up at Lex's. I like this. "Would you like a spotter, Lex?" And just one-handed grabs the barbell out of his hands. "But your father had the decency to hover at my window and judge me from the outside. He says, I'm not my father. No, you have far less respect for personal space.
I love it.
Yeah. They have a little exchange. He listens to his heartbeat and he believes he's telling the truth. He hears an explosion and John is gone. They're looking in. He knows that the tech has gone missing and what it's for. He says it says Red Sin here. Later on, I think it's supposed to be Red Sun. Maybe it's a misprint.
Mm.
Because I think they do talk about Red Sun later. Like Red Sun Tech.
Yeah.
No, it does say Red Sin on the back page. Maybe I was just subconsciously seeing Red Sun myself. It is Red Sun.
It's quite
yes, possible. I think it was subconsciously. But again, he's Lex Luthor's kind of back to his old ways. This alien that's tricked the world into thinking he's a teenager, I will make the world see him for what he is. You know, kind of what he did to his father years ago.
Mm-hmm. Backfire.
Right. So there's an explosion at the Supermax prison, Stryker's Island. He goes in. He is rescuing survivors first, putting out fires and rescuing survivors first. When a survivor attacks him, and it appears that the survivor is being mind controlled, which is true by the Ultra Humanite. right. It's really cool, you know, how these characters have gone like generations, because the Ultra Humanite was the first superpower being that Superman ever fought.
Yes. And then Ultra Humanite throws John off to where he's hearing everything.
Yeah, he's putting all of these doubts and things in his head. All the things that we've seen, you know, everything that they're screaming at Superman in BVS is what we're seeing here. What he's projecting into his head. So he super speed. He runs off, reconnects the power. The collar that takes away his powers, the psionic dampener, that's what it's called. reconnects it to the power and snaps it back on to Ultra Humanite's neck, depowering him. He notices Metallo, which is a kind of a connection to Kal-El Returns, because it is both Action and Superman Son of Kal-El books that are connected. So, and Metallo has appeared in those, in this storyline.
Mm-hmm.
He is listening to Ultra Humanite talk to him. He says, do you realize there's one reason to release a being with a kryptonite heart? Someone wants you dead, Child of Steel. He says, and I don't blame them, you. And you hear a nice, and I liked how they did it. They, a little thump thump in his ear, mm-hmm. tiny words. And he says, I have to go. He's like, I'm talking, boy. And John is gone. He can hear all the things, the doubts, the fear, the hatred. But there's a sound I can hear above all that, a sound I haven't heard in a long time, a sound that drowns out all the ugly thoughts put in my head. And thump, thump, he runs and he hugs his father. Superman's back.
Mm-hmm. I just love the last pages. I know, son. And it says, I'm safe.
Yeah. And then we have a dialogue between some people. Doomsday 88, Lex is right.
Clark Kent.
And Red Sin And he says, I can make him less special.
And there we go.
And there is Superman, Son of Kal-El. The beginning of our next villain. Our next challenge for Jonathan Kent.
And we only got, like, what, a couple more issues left of this run?
18. Number 18. So, actually, after the release of 17, only one more in.
And we'll get into the new era of Superman the next year. That is going to be interesting as we have a couple different titles and very exciting. Looking forward to it. All right. Still with me, James?
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. So now we're going to get into Titans season 4. Titans are back. And before we jump into the episode, we hadn't talked about this yet, but they released, it feels like forever ago, but we go in these spurts where we get news, updates, and then nothing. And then we try to keep on everything, but life and podcasting and specials and so much. But we got the Titans season 4 poster. And I have to go back here through my pictures to find it. And what did you think of the poster?
I am actually going back myself.
Because I'll say this, it's interesting because I said to you and Brian in the chat, I'm like, I kind of remember exactly what Donna Troy decided to do when she was brought back to life. Because, like, we had this really big team of Titans, and now we've shrunk it down. And the poster, the city looks good. Dick looks good. Mother Mayhem up top looks cool. Tim looks like he's not even a real person. Connor's face looks weird. Raven's face looks weird. Like, they look like they're drawn and not...
Yeah, like they're overly airbrushed.
And then Starfire looks odd. But if you took out everyone, just left Titans and had Dick there, it would be fine. But Garfield in his full suit looks...
Yeah, sweet. I'm interested to see what the idea behind that full suit is, because we don't know yet, like, how it operates with him.
Yeah.
We'll get to talk about. I think it looks really cool. It looks, you know, like you said, you know, basically everything just seems like over airbrushed, over art, you know, like over photoshopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, the only two that look like people are Starfire and Dick, and even both of them have too many effects, too much extra lighting and things. Like, Dick looks like he's lit up from both sides and the front. Like, it's crazy.
It actually looks like a very poor job, I'll be honest. For it to be the official from HBO, like, I've seen people do better jobs independently, like just making fan edited things that look better. And so, not to bash on Titans, but yeah, come on.
I mean, the city looks good. It's Metropolis. No. You got the Daily Planet. You're looking up at the tall skyscrapers. And then you just get the silhouette of Mother Mayhem back there and some runes on the ground.
We also got a Titans season 4 episode list. There'll be 12 episodes. Episode 1, which we'll be discussing, Lex Luthor. Episode 2, Mother Mayhem. Episode 3, Jinx, which that episode hasn't been aired yet, and I already have an issue with it, but we'll wait, and I'll talk about it later. Episode four. Yeah, my okay. So I'll just say it now. My thing is they're bringing Jinx in because of magic. Why can't it be Zatanna? Why is this character constantly denied a chance to appear in live action? It's one of the coolest characters. Or, like, they could have brought in Zatanna and Zatara, but yet nothing.
Yeah, because the one thing Titans does like to do is this is a new generation. Like, there's a whole generation of heroes that have come before. That have had world-saving, universe-saving exploits. So, like, to just they always tease at that, but they don't really, and it's always really cool, but it hasn't been pulled into, you know, a large degree.
And episode 4 is super super Mart. Episode 5, Inside Man. Episode 6, Brother Blood. James, take it away.
What, with episode 1?
7.
Oh, there we go. I got it. 1 through 6. Sorry, I was waiting for it, and I didn't see it. episode 7, Dude, Where's My Gar? episode 8 is Cole's Following. Episode 9 is Dick and Carol and Ted and Corey. Episode 10 is Game Over.
And why can't it be just
Game Over, man? Like, Game Over!
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you're trying to make all these other fun, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, when any chance you have the chance to do Bill Paxton, you do it. Episode 11 is Project Starfire. Episode 12, Titans Forever. Well, if that doesn't sound like a spoiler.
Yeah. But, so that's the rundown of this season. And we'll pop in, you know, when it comes to Titans, we don't cover episode by episode by episode. We hit on the, if it's a Superman, Superboy, you know, prominent episode, or we'll touch as the season goes on, we'll any kind of points we want to discuss or something we'll bring up and talk about. But with this one being titled Lex Luthor and being very super related, we thought we'd just go ahead and tackle season 4, episode 1, Lex Luthor. Now, in this episode, we get the introduction to a new version of Lex Luthor. And it is played by Titus Welliver. And we talked about his casting before. We were excited. You know, I know him from some other shows, but I knew him from Sons of Anarchy, being one of the biggest, and then recently doing the voice of Carmine Falcone in
The
Long Halloween.
You know, the things I've seen him in, he is a great actor. I really enjoy most of his work, and this is no different. Like, if not for that beard, yeah, which is an aesthetic choice, you know, take it or leave it. But yeah, like, he did a fantastic job.
So a quick summary of the episode is, after Superman requests a meeting with Connor, the Titans travel to Metropolis for exclusive access to Star Labs. But when unexpected complications arise, including the reemergence of Lex Luthor, Connor faces a tough decision. And so we'll talk about at the end of the episode. I have some notes on the episode, but just overall, what did you, we don't really have to follow any kind of pattern. Just talk about the episode. What did you think?
I really enjoyed the first episode of the season. I mean, there was a lot, you know, a lot to happen in this season, or in the beginning, in this episode.
In the beginning. So when it started, we meet Lex Luthor. We get the great, and most of this was in the trailer, and it's like the Temple of Azeroth, like a piece of Azeroth. So I had to brush up a little bit on Brother Blood because I wasn't 100% sure everything. Because I remember Brother Blood being on Arrow and what they did there, and then I remember, you know, Brother Blood appearing in the Judas Contract Titans animated film. I couldn't remember how much it looks like he's going to tie into Rachel. And I kind of think, like, why didn't they premiere this a month earlier? Because this would have been a really kind of neat superhero season for October, with everything that we deal with in this episode. But Lex Luthor, he purchased it. There's a great line about the gods will know your name. And he's like, I believe the gods already know my name. And that's very Lex Luthor. And this, like, okay, like I talked to you before about how, like, if we were charting Lex Luthor's and where they are kind of like in a timeline span. And, like, you know how I always say, like, if we're looking at it, Michael Rosenbaum's at the beginning of a timeline, very young Lex, and then recently John Cryer is kind of more towards the end, a more seasoned Lex. This Lex is farther beyond that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this...
So, like, this is the oldest Lex as far as age, but also probably career. Like, as in how long he's been battling Superman and whatever.
Well, yeah, they talk about, like, his criminal exploits, and they've got files in every friggin' category, you know? They go down a whole list. Everything that he's done, good or bad, I guess.
Yep.
Like, the way he stands face-to-face, like, he doesn't even look at Starfire when she comes in. You know,
I think that's my favorite scene, because I love the way it's filmed, where she's battling up to his room and he's just sitting there like about to eat, and he's just doing his thing, and then eventually just gets up and you know, like, what?
Yeah, he gets up, walks over, grabs some whatever, scotch, whiskey, whatever his drink of choice is, brandy, and takes it back over and sits down when Starfire kind of does a Batman hit from the BVS warehouse scene and puts a guy down head first. You know, he doesn't even make eye contact with her until everyone has been taken down. I mean, Lex is totally prepared for the moment, you know. He's waiting for Starfire shows up, Dick and Tim are in a building across the street, and he has ninjas come after, go after them.
It's great. Dick's like, ninjas.
I hate ninjas. Really? All
right, yeah. Ninjas.
And then he's like, is that it? And then more people show up. More ninjas.
But we find out Lex, basically, you know, so what we find out first is Connor, they're going to Star Labs to meet Superman. Superman wants to meet Connor. And Star Labs has some things for the team. And when we get to Star Labs, first of all, we see a Superman statue outside.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. And they go inside. We get a great scene of concert. Connor putting on glasses, and Dick kind of being like, "You remind me of him." We find out that Superman's not going to be able to be there; he's off-world saving something. Which I kind of get the feeling that could be something foiled by Lex.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know what though? And I think we said this in our chat, or maybe no. You know what? I might have said this to Jamie. I said, you know, when you are playing in the DC world, and you're going to have people who are going to tease Superman and who are supposed to go meet Superman, and then he's not there. I said, the reason he's not there is because he's flying off to another galaxy to stop a star from exploding and eliminating all life in that galaxy. And like, that's why, like, it's a grand reason why mm-hmm. Superman isn't there when he basically made the invitation to come see him. And the reason he's not there is because of something huge. And I said, that's the way you do it. And it was really cool, actually, the way they did it with those glasses. And, like, they gave a display of him flying from Earth across the stars to a distant star to stop it from going supernova.
Let me ask you a question. Right now, do you think they're going to cast Superman? Or, option A, we will see a Superman showed up, a previous actor? Or B, do you think they'll just use Josh and try to dress him up a little different and make him look older?
Well, I do hope it is not that one. The last there. I mean, I suppose, especially if, I mean, we don't know the future of the show either, and it probably wouldn't be a reoccurring role. So if they cast somebody else in the role for Titans, I mean, it's like a glorified cameo for the most part. I mean, if they pulled Tyler, I don't think it would really work. I mean, I think Joshua Orpin's probably as big as Tyler, if not bigger.
But I think, okay, so one, I would love for it to be Tyler, because even if Titans gets canceled, you could pull Josh over and have mm-hmm. him appear on Superman and Lois. Because also, if we think about it a little bit harder, we learn that Superman and Lois is on a different Earth. We don't know that much about that Earth's history. We have yet to meet the Lex of that Earth. So it doesn't have to be John Cryer's Lex. You know, we don't know much of that Earth. So it could very well be. But I think the safest route would be to do something
with Brandon Routh. I think Brandon Routh would have the stature opposed to Josh Orpin, like to stand in front of him and be a bigger, like taller, wider, and then also like facial structure wise, it's not too far off that he couldn't be some sort of brother. Yeah, honestly. So, I mean, that would be my best go-to would be, yeah, if Brandon Routh, if they got him for it. I mean, if you're going to do, like, a glorified cameo, why not something like that?
Right, because then it just feels better instead of trying to, like, force a new actor in, you know, put Brandon Routh in there in the Kingdom Come-styled suit with the altered S like he was at the end of Crisis. You know, have him kind of step in there. It would work. You just kind of go with it, you know. Kind of like how they did, like, stunt casting on Naomi with Superman. Yeah. And I never really got into it because the show was canceled because it was pure garbage. But, you know, instead of bringing someone in like, this is Superman, and either doing something stupid where we really don't see it, or trying to bring in a new actor to be the role for just something small. I mean, that is a large role, just like, you know, Ian Glenn was Bruce Wayne but not Batman. They weren't going to let him be Batman. I just feel like right now with where we are with Superman, like, the best thing to do would be to Brandon Routh.
Yeah, and even then, you don't have to do Superman. You could do Clark. But if you did, you know, I mean, it would be like the Superman standing in front of Superboy kind of thing. Like, you would almost need him to... I mean, personally, I don't think you would need him. I think it would be amazing just to see him as Clark Kent talk to him. But also, because he did say, he said, my name is Connor Kent. And he said, huh, you took his last name. So, like, it's kind of a thing. Like, I think it would be okay, in my opinion. I mean, others would disagree that maybe he needs to be Superman to stand up to Superboy in front of him just to look, you know, more imposing to Superboy, but I don't think Superman wouldn't need to.
I think it'd be kind of cool just to be subtle. Like, it's something where, like, the Titans are doing something, there's Connor's walking, and then Dick kind of steps away from him, and Connor's standing, like, in a park or something, and then just Clark steps into the frame. And he's like, I've been wanting to meet you, or something like that. And it's Connor talking to Clark, not Superboy talking to Superman. So that's our little tangent. Now we'll get back to the actual episode that was actually made. We find out Lex Luthor's dying. There's a hint at earlier with the Temple of Azareth that a price has to be paid. And Lex is like, there's always a price to be paid. We find out that they were trying to do some sort of, he's dying of kryptonite poisoning, and that they were trying to find out, like, transplant, like, organs or whatever to keep Lex alive. And like you were talking about Starfire, when they find out that Lex does the high-pitched ring to contact Connor, he wants to meet him. And of course, Dick and Corey go to find out first what Lex is after. And so that's kind of, you know, Connor goes and we go to the Daily Planet. And did it say that dude's name was Jim or Jimmy? Because I've heard some people say that it was, but I didn't catch
it. I did not catch a name, no. The Daily Planet. I was wondering if it would be, but...
Yeah, I didn't, and I figure if it was, they would have really made sure that it popped, that we knew it was. And then Connor decides he wants to meet Lex, which, you know, is his other parent that he wants to meet. And we've talked before how it would be an interesting storyline, the Geoff Johns Titans run where the Lex side of Connor takes over. But I told Jania, I was like, Superboy Connor is a great character because you have the potential to make a character that's as smart as Lex Luthor with Superman's powers and be the best of both of them.
Right. Which was something they were kind of delving into, I think, last season with the...
Where he was fixing the
learning complex schematics really quickly and being able to work with them and stuff. Absolutely.
I like that they've kind of shrunk the team down some so we can focus on the team a little bit more. The characters.
Which is something I think was necessary, you know. I mean, they've done a lot and they've introduced a lot of people into the Titans, into the show. But they come and go, and they've had very singular focused episodes, a multitude of them. So to have the team working together and being a more focused group of people, I think is a good idea to tell a better story.
True. This is coming from the smart man himself, Mr. James Cole. Okay, so let's now kind of shift a little bit. In this episode, I didn't put a lot in my note. A little tangent here. We talked about that. Garfield. We didn't talk a whole lot about. So Garfield, that Star Labs, and they give him, like, it looks like just the glove to his suit. They talked about creating his suit. and he puts it on and he goes to transform. And then, like, he goes to a weird place. And then he comes back and, like, the lab is destroyed. And they're talking about he was a gorilla, a velociraptor, and he just was out of control. And I got thinking, I got thinking about stuff. I wonder if they'll introduce Animal Man and talk about the Red.
That was, and yeah, Garfield. That was my thought behind it. Because even in what the New 52, Beast Boy was Red because he was connected to the Red.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, Animal Man was the avatar of the Red. And then Beast Boy, you know, was part of that. He kind of wasn't the avatar, but he was part of, he was,
yeah, like his abilities were connected to animals, yeah, the blood of the living, the blood of the other living animals.
You know, because you have the rot being the decay and death, and then the green being plant life and vegetation. So I was like, okay, with the whole blood theme that we're on with Brother Blood in the cult group. So I was like, okay, that's where I'm kind of feeling with the Garfield stuff. And then we have Joseph Morgan, who's playing
Sebastian. Well, so, I mean, even before we go there, just with Gar, like, you know, when he does it, everything goes red, so it appears, and then, like, there's a tree and stuff. Like we say, they give him just, like, the little gauntlets, like the gloves for his hands, and then when he comes back too, he has the suit on, the full suit on. So, like, the operation of the suit, like, how does that work? You know what I mean? Like, does the suit disappear and retract into the gloves, kind of a thing? So when he changes into an animal, his suit is gone, and when he changes back into human form, the suit just reappears? You know? Seeing as all they gave him was the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious about how that worked, you know? Like, but yeah, he destroyed the lab and everything.
I was thinking to myself, like, every superhero, like, right now, like, their suit's, like, nanotech. You know, that's the workaround. So I'm like, because, like, you have that scene of the Titans, and I'm like, is Dick going to be, like, my suit's nanotech? Like, how does he get in that thing so fast? Like, that's what I'm waiting for. Is anybody gets my nanotech suit? But we have the Titans together. Now let's step a step back. We have Tim hanging out with them. Tim, you know, Tim Drake. And I got a whole rant from Brian about not Tim Drake. And you know, he made a lot of valid points, and I agree with it, you know. Just about he's like this unconfident in how Tim's story played out. And I'm like, okay, but what's bothering me is Tim is not trained at all. He doesn't have a suit of like for armor protection, but they gave him a bow staff.
Well, I think the bow staff was nice for the training issue, the thing that Dick says he's going to start.
But the way he's just carrying.
Yeah, but to take Tim in the field, he brought Tim along to the surveilling of Lex Luthor in the building. Like, yep.
And Tim's not even like busting out, showing some great detective skills. So I was like, man, it'd be cool if Tim was like, all right, I'm going to, you know, start being a detective and talk about things. And we're going to see that. Like,
yeah, I mean, so like, for this episode, he was basically just along for the ride. You know, he's along with the Titans. He hasn't really begun his training yet. He does like, he's like, oh, am I getting a Robin costume in this? Because might I add that the guy at Star Labs who is showing them around, his name is Bernard. And Bernard is Tim's boyfriend in the comics.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was something they put in there.
Something
that's showing growth in him and like current where he is in the comics. But it was just one of those, I'm like, really, Tim? Like, everybody's like, you're there. And also just the way they kind of talk about, you guys are the Titans. Like, do they not want secret identities? Or are they just completely
in right? I don't know who knows identities, but I mean, I guess in this world, you know, Star Labs is a trusted superhero, you know, research company, you know?
I guess because my first thought is, how many companies do you know have like massive turnover? You know, and employment, and you're going to trust these superhero identities to company right. turnover?
Well, I don't think Star Labs is in the business of turnover. I think when they want somebody with them, I think they want.
Oh, so when they want to quit, they just get taken out.
Right. They're eliminated. You quit, you're gone. Star Labs, you disappear.
You're dead. You don't exist. You get black bagged.
Pornhub wouldn't even work with you. That's Netflix, a evil, yeah.
Anyone's like, what? So, and I guess the other big thing is like I was saying, is like we meet Sebastian, and it's played by Joseph Morgan. Joseph Morgan is an actor that my wife and I really enjoyed when we watched the first three seasons of The Vampire Diaries. And he came on and played Klaus in that season and then played the character in the originals. And he was very good. And then he also played in the film with Henry Cavill, Immortals. He was one of the soldiers that kind of sold them out and gets beat up horribly.
Yeah. He's no longer able to sire children. Yeah. Right.
But he does a great job of this kind of character, and I'm very interested to see where he goes. He reminds me of like a little bit of like a Norman Bates type character. And the creepiest part, like I was telling Jania, is when he looks in the mirror and then his head goes down and then the mirror face is still there. And the mirror looks like it's scared. And then the head that comes up is like smiling. Like, it was really creepy. And
cool. Yeah, it was a really awesome effect.
And so that's going on. And then at the end of the episode, Lex Luthor, you know, we jump back. He's talking to Connor. He asks Connor to stay, you know, and Connor has this childlike innocence to him. And he wants to know why he was created. And Lex basically says, so that a piece of me could live on and be the best version of me. And then Lex starts spewing blood. And then a snake comes out of his mouth. And Connor grabs it and he visions it and he's spitting blood. And then he's presumed dead. And all the people come busting into his office and see their Superboy. And there's a line that Lex said that when people find out you're part me, all you have to do is like make one mistake and, you know, you're forever
looked
at negatively. And I told Jania, like, does Lex not have cameras there so they could see, you know, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that whatever was happening at all would hold up at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a quick, I thought that the him being arrested would be a blip in the overall story.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. A, do you think Lex is really dead? B, do you think it's some part of some sort of ritual?
I do think more of some sort of ritual. I was wondering. I didn't think he would be dead.
I was like,
but then also I wouldn't put it past this Titans to do that.
Right, that's what I told Jania. I was like, I don't know, they might have the balls to pull it off. And actually, like, because everything we've seen in the trailer with Lex
was
in that episode. And there was a cool article that Entertainment Weekly just did with Titus talking about how he did read Teen Titan comics and everything and is the fan. And that comes back to, I really did like his legs. I just feel like, for me to feel like I can really rank him, I need a little bit more. So I hope he does show back up again.
Even if it was flashbacks, but still. Or like some sort of memory, some sort of implant.
Or something like where, like, you know, we could do something as fun as in Connor's mind, and he's talking to Lex in his mind, as if like it's part, that part of him, you know. But hey, that was a great way to end the episode.
Like, he spews a lot of blood.
I'm in for season 4.
Yeah, we watched the first episode and we were like, wow, like, that was actually really good. Like, and you know, Titans has not been one to really disappoint with its season opener, mostly. You know, I would say now 3 out of 4 really nailed it. You know, basically the outlier mostly being 2, which I liked a lot of season 2, but you could tell that there was a separation of from when they filmed stuff before 2, and then they hacked everything.
Season 2 doesn't start till the second episode, because the first episode is such a butchery of some new footage with twisted footage of the original closer of what season 1 was. So I don't even take that as the opener, because it's just a blur.
And even still, like, that second episode of season 2, freaking great.
Exactly. So. That's what I consider the opener. All right. Well, we're going to kind of wrap it up. A little bit of a shorter episode where we wanted to get this out and talk some Titans. We're back, you know, having another DC show in the fold, currently on air right now. For any DC fans out there who don't know, Stargirl season 3, its final season, is a little halfway through its season. We have Pennyworth that's showing on HBO Max. Now Titans is on HBO Max. So we have 3 DC series.
Yep, Titans season 4, part 1, and then Doom Patrol will be coming in December.
And check them out. And what's interesting, going back to that list that we got, it doesn't say if that's part 1. Or if it's going to be like 6 episodes is part 1, then a break. Then 6 episodes for part 2. It just had all 12 episodes. So,
yeah.
Interesting, right?
Well, I would think that if they got a significantly increased budget, like that was talked about for season 4, that they would put that all into the 12 episodes instead of, you know, trying to do what they did before, and but instead stretch it out to double. I mean, we already know that is a problem when it comes to filling out your season with that many episodes.
Just 8 to 12. 8 makes us feel like we want more. 12 is the sweet spot. More than that starts to get like, okay, what are we doing?
Well, you know, I'm sure if you had them, but you know, even if you had 15 episodes and it was released every week, or with maybe like one single break in between, like, but not like show one episode, have 2 weeks, show another episode, take off a month, show another episode, take off 3 more weeks.
Yeah, that's how people get lost when all this, you know, competitiveness of all these shows and streamers, that's how we get lost. Well, good night, everybody. This is Tyler and James from the Krypton Report. If you've enjoyed our conversation, shoot us a message on our social medias, our emails. Let us know what you think. If you're excited for Titans, what you want to see from this season? Like, what are some things that you're hoping that happens? I'm hoping that Tim gets in a costume. We get more costume, more action, and that we don't get the tropes of Dick going rogue and the team breaking up. And remember, we're going to press pause and hear a few words from our other podcasts on Press Play Podcast Network.
Hello. Brooks here with the Books with Brooks monthly book club podcast. Here's how Books with Brooks works. We read one book a month, and then we talk about it. Classics like Stephen King's The Shining, debut novels like We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lang, and tons of other compelling, life-changing stories, one book and one month at a time. So come read along with us and then listen in.
If you are like Tyler and James and can't get enough Super Talk, check out these other podcasts. Digging for Kryptonite, Supergirl Radio, The Last Sons of Krypton, The Superboy Legacy Podcast, All-Star Superfans, Superman the Animated Podcast, The Aspiring Kryptonians, Always Hold On to Smallville, The Geek of Steel, and Truth, Justice, and Hope.
Remember to check out Krypton Report on all social media platforms. Go to linktree.com/KryptonReport. You find all of our information. $1 a month, you'll get extra special content that you don't get on the main show, like movie commentaries and whatever else comes out of our mouths. So check it out, patreon.com/KryptonReport.
This is Dan Jurgens, and if you want to have a good time, keep listening to the Krypton Report.
Look up in the sky.
We just want to say, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please check out other podcasts on the Press Play Podcast Network.